worth hearing and worth listening. I am reminded of Apostle Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians that you became an example to us and to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Korean believers and the assemblies are a great, great, great example. And the Lord is tremendously blessing them. And we were very much blessed to be in their company for the last 3 weeks. You know, last Saturday I had to minister 8 hours, 1 to 9, afternoon 1, and finished at 9:30, back to back. And they had a study on the book of Revelation. They are delving deep into that. So I was given the responsibility to give an overview of the book of Revelation. 2 hours on Friday and 8 hours on Saturday. 150 people had registered for that, and they do everything in style. So I was very much blessed by the travel and by the ministry. It was a little bit difficult for both of us to cope up with their workaholic nature and, you know, giving us, without giving us any rest. From the airport, we had only one break, 1 hour break after we reached, after traveling 14 hours. Then immediately after giving us a good dinner, they took us to the meeting the same night. And then we thought the next day morning we will get some time for sleeping, but they said 7 a.m. you should be ready for a road travel for 5 hours to our next destination. So there we started, but thank you for your prayers. Everything worked out well. I will share more about it at an appropriate time later. This morning, I would like to speak on spiritual growth. You know that I have written a small booklet on it, which have been translated to many other languages around the world. And I wanted to speak on it this morning, considering the 8 young brothers and sisters who witnessed the Lord in the waters of baptism. But the message is not for them alone. It is for me and for all of us. And I hope and pray that our young people who witness the Lord in the waters of baptism may make a special effort to learn what I'm going to share with them. Because this will determine your spiritual progress and your blessing in your life and your spiritual contribution to this assembly. If you discard this message, you know, it will be, you run the risk of losing many things in your life. So I prayed and I waited in the presence of the Lord that such a very vast and comprehensive topic should be compressed into 35 minutes. And at the same time, I should be able to give the most important truths so that it may communicate well the deeper truths of God's word in relation to spiritual growth, that all of us may be able to remember it well and apply it. First of all, 5 important general observations about spiritual growth before I turn into the text in the Word of God. 5 important spiritual principles in relation to spiritual growth. Number 1, growth is very natural and expected in all living things. If a living organism, one of the most important characteristics of a living organism is that it will show evidence of life. Growth is natural to anything which has life. Life always grows. We all were born as babes. Then we started growing. And that is true of all of us. In this assembly, we have you know, several babies, and we are every day excited to see how they grow. So that is the first principle of spiritual growth also. Number two, growth is not automatic. It needs the necessary conditions for growth. If there is no sunlight and water and air, the plants won't grow. In the same way, if the necessary conditions for growth is not there, we also won't be able to grow spiritually. So it is very important for us to develop good growth habits. Number three, when you grow, it results in your own blessing, and eventually it results in the blessings of others. Your spiritual blessings, stamina, spiritual energy, spiritual power, spiritual victory will be a blessing to you. It will also be a blessing to others. It will be a blessing to your family. It will be a blessing to your friends. And above all, it will be a blessing to this assembly. And the quality of our assembly, its growth, its spiritual dynamism and energy depends on my spiritual growth and in your spiritual growth. If we don't spiritually grow, our spiritual dullness will be reflected in our worship, in our activities, and in everything we do. You know that when you step into certain assemblies, certain churches, the reason that you don't feel happy about the things that are going on there is it is a bunch of people who claim to be saved and profess their faith in Christ, but they have never grown in their spiritual life. So the spiritual dynamism and the spiritual energy, the spiritual light and the spiritual punch is not seen in the assembly. So I hope and pray that our spiritual growth may contribute tremendously to ELBC in the days to come. We have great hope for the future because 8 more have been added to our full fellowship. And we hope and pray that as they responsibly walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his goodwill, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. So as they grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, that it will be a great blessing to our own assembly and to their spiritual life and also to their families. Number four, in the Bible, spiritual growth is synonymous or equated with spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth equals spiritual maturity. That is what the Bible clearly teaches. In the Corinthian epistle, you know, Paul rebuked the Corinthian believers because they were babes in Christ. That means they did not spiritually grow. So spiritual maturity equals spiritual growth in the New Testament. The writer to the Hebrews, you know, had some very harsh words for his readers that I want to tell you more about Melchizedek and the Old Testament priesthood. But at the same time, you are dull and you are not able to receive it. You ought to be teachers by this time, but still you are craving for milk and not solid food. That means you haven't grown. Spiritual growth is spirituality and spiritual maturity. And the last important observation about spiritual growth is spiritual growth is commanded in the Bible. That is where I want to dwell the next 30 minutes. Spiritual growth is commanded in the Bible, and the Word of God assures us that all the resources that are needed for our spiritual growth is given to us. So my last point is spiritual growth is commanded. Shall we turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3? 2 Peter chapter 3. Reading verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forevermore. So, but grow, it is an imperative in the present tense. That means it is a command. It is not a suggestion. It is not just an option. It is not just an opinion. It is a clear commandment. Spiritual growth, I said four things before this, but the fifth one is that spiritual growth is commanded in the Bible. Baptism is a commandment, and eight of you obeyed it last evening. Spiritual growth is commanded. So it is a commandment to which we must pay more attention. It is in the imperative mode, a commandment, and also it is in the present tense. So the present tense can literally be translated as, make it your habit to always be growing. Make it your habit always to be growing. Make it your habit always to be growing. Some of the, you know, Greek scholars have literally translated it that way, because that catches the real essence of what Peter is teaching. Make it your habit to be growing. Make it your habit to be growing. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did Peter conclude this epistle, this letter, with that note? And that's something very important for us to know. You know, a wonderful letter, and this letter is written against false prophets and false teachers, very similar to the letter of Jude. So this is a strong defense against the false teachers and their deceptive lies. They will misguide you. The warnings are given. They will mislead you, and they will confuse you. So in those days, the false teachers trying to penetrate into the churches, probably the Gnostic teachers and other philosophers and Judaizers, they are trying to confuse the people of God. And they are trying to mislead them and trying to misguide them. So this is a strong warning against them, given to the people of God, that the people of God should continue to develop mature Christian character to stand against the deceptive schemes of the false teachers. So that is the context. False teachers are here. They are trying to mislead you. They are trying to misguide you. They are trying to confuse you. So how can you stand against them? It is by developing a strong Christian character and a solid knowledge of scriptures. So if you read these three chapters, and it will be good to read it maybe sometime this week, you know, he gives specific instructions. Know your salvation. Know more about your salvation. Know more about the scriptures. Know more about your enemies. Know how to mature. The word know, knowing, knowledge is used 16 times by Peter in this letter. Know, knowing, knowledge. So you have to know certain things. That is how you can resist, you can stand against these false teachers. Know more about your salvation. Know more about your Savior. Know more about the scriptures. Know more about your enemies. Know how to mature. These things can be known. These things can be understood. These things can be appreciated. You take the time to do it. Chart your own course for spiritual growth. God is the one who gives the growth, but you have to cooperate with him. You have to participate in that divine process. God helps you to grow. And as the Lord helps you to grow with divine resources, you have to yield, you have to obey, you have to submit, and you have to participate and cooperate with him in that process. So know your salvation, know about your enemies, know about scripture, and know how to mature. Know knowledge, knowing 16 times. Now there is a contemporary application to this. Today you may not find any false teachers here in ELBC. But, you know, in the contemporary culture, there are many people who will mislead you. Many of the churches around, many of the TV, Christian TV programs, many of your own friends, the media, the internet, our educational system, our contemporary culture, your teachers, your professors, your curriculum, your academic system is all false teaching. Most of it, because they have a secret agenda to root out Christianity, Christian faith, say things against the Lord Jesus. You hear that every day in classroom, every day in the media. So, but Peter's situation was different. The Gnostic teachers and others, false teachers, were penetrating into the church, Judaizers and the Gnostics and others. But we don't have that problem. So do not try to, you know, isolate this situation from our life situation. Our life situation, the false teachers come in a different color, in a different way. And sometimes they confuse you. Sometimes they misguide you. Sometimes they mislead you. But most of the times, they are trying to confuse you so that you may not be strong in your faith. You may always have doubts and you may start, you know, rebelling against what you have thought and believed and what is taught to you because of these wrong influences. So that is the warning Peter gives. So what is the safeguard against these things? The safeguard is you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, when he comes, he talks about the false teachers and they are mockers. They mock at the promises of God. They mock at the word of God. They mock at the idea of the second coming. They mock at the idea of the new heavens and the new earth, you know. So they constantly mock at these things. And in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, they also mock at the writings of one of the greatest apostles, that is Apostle Paul. So, you know, let us read that verse. Chapter 3, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. They are scripture twisters. You know, there is a book written on cults, and the author has named it scripture twisting. The idea comes from these words. They twist the words of Apostle Paul to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So they do a lot of things against the Bible, against the word of God. You know, we hear that constantly. In the academia, it is very popular. That creating confusion and saying things against creation, against God, against the veracity of the biblical record, all those things. So the false teachers and the false prophets today come and try to attack us through different methods and through different modes. But it is very real and they are all around us. So how to resist, how to defend ourselves, spiritual steadfastness and spiritual growth. Look at verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, So I have told you this beforehand. Peter is reminding them that I have given you a warning, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. You will not fall from your salvation, but you will fall from your steadfastness, your Christian discipleship, your commitment, and your spiritual zeal. You can fail, you may fall, you may backslide, you may become carnal, you may be confused. That is a real possibility. So that is why Peter is saying to believers like us, born again and baptized and in fellowship, those who really knew the apostles personally, some of them might have even, seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They had all the privileges, they had all the blessings, all the advantages, very spiritually mature people, but Peter is warning them that there is a possibility that you may be confused and you may fall from your diligence, and that can be a great spiritual risk to you. Being led away with the error of the wicked. You may be led away by their error. You may not, it's not talking about losing your salvation, but you may be led away. You may be totally confused because they promote error. And the word for error is a very interesting word, plane. The word for error means, literally we get the word planet from this word. It means wandering, roaming, misunderstanding. That is the word. So their plan is to, push you to a roaming mode so that you will be roaming. You don't have any spiritual stability. Roaming from church to church, roaming from book to book, roaming from seminar to seminar, roaming from one TV preacher to the other, roaming from Bible this translation to other, no steadfastness, no stability. And that is the word for error. You know the New Testament word for deceive. That's a word that is frequently used both in the Gospels and also in the Epistles. It means planavo, that is, again, wandering. The false teachers deceive you, make you wanderers. That is the literal meaning. So the planets, the imagery is like the planets wander, roam around. We also roam around in the spiritual realm without any mooring, without any foundation, without any productivity, without any joy, without any fruitfulness, without any happiness, without any real commitment. And not able to make the right decisions. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In verses 12 to 14, the writer is talking about their spiritual immaturity. I think in the recent Bible study on Hebrews, I believe this was touched upon by Brother Sam Mathai. 12 to 14 is about their spiritual immaturity. Look at verse 14. But solid food, verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk, the immature state, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, immature. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, we read about the error. The writer to the Hebrews talks about the discernment to know about which is truth and which is error. So the writer to the Hebrews connects that ability with spiritual maturity. The same thing what, Peter is doing. That ability to discern, to make the right decisions in life. Many people make wrong choices in life, wrong decisions in relation to sometimes their career, education, and above all, in relation to their marriage partner. Why such wrong decisions? Even among believers, Christians, why? Not spiritually mature. Because the spiritual maturity will give you the right sense, the right discernment. The right discernment, discern both good and evil. Decision-making capacity is a spiritual capacity. And that spiritual capacity is the blessing of spiritual maturity. So the writer to the Hebrews warns us against that. And in 2 Peter, the error of the wicked, thrust you, pull you, push you into a roaming mode that you may not be able to really understand the truth, that always be confused. Then comes the final command. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In order to grow, we also need to remove the hindrances to growth. Otherwise, how can we grow? I know I have to grow, that is commanded, but I know there are many hindrances in my life so that I'm not able to grow. And when the Spirit of God convicts me of those hindrances in my life that I am not able to grow, which hinders me from spiritual growth, I should be willing to tear down, remove those hindrances also. That is why sanctification, spiritual process, the spiritual growth process demands my cooperation. Theologians have, including Calvin, they have argued whether we participate with the Holy Spirit is the right word, or whether we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I believe both are true. We participate, we cooperate with what the Lord is doing so that the spiritual growth can be a reality in our life. So, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the spiritual growth is specified in two realms. It is talking about general spiritual growth, but that is narrowed down to two spheres. One is the grace. More divine grace. As we grow, we are able to enjoy more divine grace in our daily life. And we are able to enjoy the grace of God in our daily life. The divine enablement, the divine patience, the divine love, the divine grace and blessings in our daily life. The more one knows Christ, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are able to enjoy more of his grace. As a husband, as a child, as a father, as an elder, as a teenager, more grace we need to be obedient children, to be good leaders, to love one another. The more we grow, we are cherished, we are blessed in that divine grace. John 1:16, Gospel of John. Out of his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Exactly the same thing. Out of his fullness, when we know him more, when we draw closer to him every day, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The more I know my Savior, I know more of his grace. And I know how much I need that grace for my daily life, for my ministry, for my victory. Lord, I need it. John said, out of his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. F. of Bruce translates it as one wave of grace after the other. Waves of grace, waves of grace. One wave of grace come, and I am immersed in that. Before that, you know, that wave goes, another wave comes. Grace upon waves of grace. That's what you need as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a wife, as a child. That is the grace you need. And that can be yours through spiritual growth. So, grow in the grace and knowledge. Oh, you also need to know more of him, more of the Lord, more of his plans, more of his will. And that growth is in direct relationship with the time you spend in his word. Without the word, how will we know? So it is the word of God and our fellowship with the Lord that facilitates that growth. There are other growth habits of fellowship, prayer, time, all those things. But the foundational thing is our fellowship with our Lord and our time in the word of God. Look at this. Of our Lord and Savior. That's very interesting. The Lord and Savior. The full title is used. When you grow, know that he is not simply your Savior. He is also your Lord. It is that awareness that helps you to grow. He is not only your Savior, he is your boss, he is your manager. You are under new management, Lord and Savior. The Saviorhood and the Lordship of Christ in your life. That is something very, very important for spiritual growth. The saving work of Christ and his absolute authority in your life. Lord and Savior. What a wonderful truth. Then see how it concludes. When you grow, what is the final result? To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Worship, doxology, praise. Your spiritual maturation leads you to be a better worshiper. You will worship your Lord and your Savior. You will strive to glorify him. So if you read this chapter 3, you know, the entire chapter, there is a progression of thought which Peter builds up here, theologically and practically. For example, look at verse 11. You know, he's talking about the day of God and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, verse 11, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness as that day is approaching? So, the truth here, because he is coming, because the Lord will fulfill all his promises, you have to live, number one, in anticipation of that. Number two, in preparation for it. So, it begins, he is coming. He will judge the world. He will rule the earth. He will come to take me home. Anticipation and preparation. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, our blessed hope, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Live in peace as you draw closer to him in anticipation and preparation, pacification. You are able to enjoy the peace of God daily in your life. Living in peace. You are already in peace with him. And you enjoy the daily peace as you live in him. The pacification. Then we read verses 17 and 18. You will have discrimination. Which is right, which is wrong. Who is a false teacher? Who is the real teacher of the word? Discrimination. So, anticipation leading to preparation, leading to pacification, leading to discrimination, which leads to maturation, your spiritual growth. And that maturation leads to adoration. That is worship. So spiritual growth is not gimmicks, you know, like 1, 2, 3 kind of superficial kind of stuff which you hear today in Christian seminars. Forget it. That's not what it is. Spiritual growth according to the word of God, sola scriptura, according to the word, is outlined here. It begins with anticipation and preparation, moving to the enjoyment of pacification, helping you to have discrimination, leading you to maturation, and make you a better worshiper. That is spiritual growth, which we need. Dear brothers and sisters, and the 8 young brothers and sisters, that is God's first reminder to you this Sunday. I hope that will abide with you, that will be a real blessing to you. You will be comforted, edified, and strengthened by the very precious word of God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you and praise you for the ancient words which are recorded and given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for the opportunity to look into it, to study it, to apply it. Pray that even this morning what we have heard and understood and appreciated in your word may become a great blessing to each one of us and help all of us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, we commend and commit ourselves to you as we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.